before I just got into the car, I got it to read to you two verses from the Bible that are going to be relevant to what I'm going to be teaching, but they're going to be very practical, because the way God talks on time is abstract. And to really convert what he's saying in an abstract way, in a practical way, it becomes sometimes difficult. That's where most of the people get stuck. So I'm going to read from Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 and 9. For it says, for the one who sows in his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the house of faith. Now, this is what called generally the law of sowing and reaping. And, you know, this is a general principle, general law. But actually, you know, if you read the Bible, you find that always there is a reference of this law that determines the direction that the Lord gives in our life. And he's giving us the ability to easily discern things that people sometimes get caught up in because they don't know how to apply some of the general principles. So we are going to see some of them today. And I'm going to stress this. If you learn to think the way I'm going to show you today, when you read the Bible, it's going to be much easier to get things direction out for your life. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we know that your truth is in your word, and we need to only, Lord, go to your word without adding and subtracting from it, but just trusting it and believing it, because you are our guidance and are the one that directs our life in ways that are far superior to our own thinking or to our own understanding, because you understand everything, because you know everything, because you are the only stable guide for us. And we praise you and thank you for Jesus' name. Amen. So we are going to continue on the training of the Lord. Okay. So let's go re-emphasize things that we have said before. You know, the English, many of the English versions, they slightly changes. You know, the word training that I use for that is actually called chastening. Okay, but that's actually not just one meaning, as many different meanings, depending on the scripture, depending on the, you know, the text that we have to look at. You know, words are not solid. They have a number of different emphasis depending on the way they are used in the sentence that they are used. If you are stuck with one just understanding, we get stuck and get nowhere because we get wrong information. Okay. And we, as you know, just take the word love. Okay. Word love to us has so many different meanings. You know, I love my wife. Has a very different meaning that I love ice cream. Or I love chocolate. Oh, I love the weather like that today. So you can see that the meaning is completely different. When you start applying these things, you have to reflect what you're actually doing, because if you try to do one love for one thing, apply it to another, you really get off. Okay? I won't give you some other example, but I hope that you can understand what I'm saying. So what that chastening actually, you know, for me, it's better to use the word training, because it's, for us in modern language understands, explains better, and actually includes many different things. Could be a warning, could be an instruction, could be restraint, could be education, could be correction, could be a punishment, could be discipline, could be teaching. So anything you can apply the way it works, and you have to see the context for to you determine what the meaning actually should be interpreted for that particular scripture. Some people, they think, you know, in a box, and they think that, you know, there's always one meaning. There's no way. If you are stuck that way, you're going to be in bondage. And some people are, because they think everything is black or white, when instead there are all shades of gray that we had to go through. Okay? So let's start with this and go back to what we said before about the training of the Lord. Okay? And see, okay, our attitude, that's another concept that actually is not expressed that way clearly in the word, so one can take from it. But anyway, you know, but the idea is, you know, that our attitude is very important, is critical. And that is something that you don't need to be a spiritual giant to be able to determine. When you have a bad attitude, everybody knows it around you. And as a result of your attitude, they're going to respond to you. God is exactly the same way. When you have a wrong attitude, you're going to get nothing from him, and he's going to give you nothing. So we better learn to have the right attitude. And the Bible is full of that. You see, attitude is one of the sources of the way we connect with other people or connect with things around us. And I have an article on that that deals with us from a spiritual point of view. The attitude has a spiritual implication. Our attitude is the position that we take spiritually inside us. And involve judgments, involve the way we relate to things and relate to people. And that determines what they determine, a yes, no, or what. I'm not going to continue on that. I'm just, if you want, you can find my article on our website. But anyway, so let's, one of the things that in dealing with the relationship, in dealing with God, our attitude is everything. The same way as your relationship with people. If you have a bad relationship with the person, it's because generally there is a bad attitude behind that. Okay, or at least in somebody. Okay, so the idea is here, you know, we have to be careful. Our attitude, and our attitude is something that we should be able to be completely aware of. There's nothing spooky, there's nothing spiritual that you can put your finger on. Okay? You know when you have a bad attitude. You know when you are not feeling, you know, you are feeling against something and you take that position. Okay? So, or whatever. So, your attitude determines your results in many areas. Law of sowing and reaping. If your attitude is fleshy, you are going to get corruption. You're going to get in a mess. If your attitude is spiritual, that means align up with God's principle and so on, God is going to work in you and he's going to bless you. Okay? Here, says something about, in Proverbs 3:11, says really very clearly something about the chastening of the Lord, that this is one of the aspects, you know, that people don't like to hear about that, even that word, because generally it's preached the wrong way. The idea is that training that God wants to do. God wants to train you. God wants you to stay not stuck for your life or the same place. He wants you to progress. He wants you to be able to get closer to him. He wants you to be able to be more holy. He wants you to be able to be separated from the world. Okay? So, here it says something to us. My son, Proverbs 3:11. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Despising is an attitude that you have inside yourself. Okay, we're going to see in a minute. Nor detest his correction. So, here he's saying something here. Okay. Not to do something. These are things, despising the chastening of the Lord and detesting his correction, are two fleshy things. You sow in the flesh, you are going to get fleshy results. So, you know, it's very easy to see, to determine within yourself if you are really, you know, having a bad attitude concerning the way God is dealing with you at this moment. Because you know the way you are going to be feeling concerning God. And nobody has to, you don't need to go for counseling for that. Maybe you should, but I don't know. The idea is this. Okay, we have got very precise instruction of where the problem come to us. You had the wrong attitude about the spies, you know, the chastening of the Lord, you know. The spies means, you know, to detest God's correction. He is putting the screws on you and you don't like it. Are you listening to me? He does. When he doesn't like something, he will do that. Okay? So, nor detest his correction. This is even worse. You know, the chastening could be any of those things there, directing you. Here it says, you know, his correction is really when he takes some action to actually do you, to punish you. Okay? Now, so he says, watch your attitude, you know, because it's going to determine what you're going to get in a relationship with God. Okay, one of the critical things is, are you listening to what he's saying to you? See, because listening means that you have an open attitude to hear what he's saying. You cannot listen if your attitude is, leave me alone, I like to do that, don't tell me what to do. Okay? So, if you want God's grace to break through, to have victories in your life, whatever it is that he wants to give you, that he promised, anything that he promised, he doesn't do it because you deserve it. If you go just by deserving it, forget it, you can let go and you're going to get nothing. That's what the Bible says. Okay. His grace is something that we don't deserve, that he gives us. So we cannot claim, like lots of people do, God's promises. Because those are a gift that are given to a promise. Is actually a promise to give you something, but always involves some what? Some conditions. If the conditions are not met, he cannot do it. Because it would be feeding you, you know, it's like, you know, helping you to do the wrong thing because they are going to apply the wrong way. So, okay, to receive God's grace, one of the first things we have to do is our attitude is the fact that we are listening, okay, and we are willing to do what God directs us. God's grace, okay, is coming not because, you know, I give you an example, okay. We had done something wrong, we sinned or whatever. And God promises forgiveness. But he doesn't give forgiveness to everybody. Why? Because he demands you to be repentant about the things and promise that you're not going to do it anymore. Otherwise, he doesn't forgive you. The Bible is very clear, you know, saying if you don't forgive others, the Father will not forgive you. So you see, the conditions are there all over the place. And we have to understand the condition if we want to get anywhere. You cannot tell God to do things that you want because he is sovereign. Today, many people don't understand that. And many pastors teach the wrong thing about that. And that putting people in problems because they're going to get nowhere with God. Okay. See, he's the one that determines what's going on, not the devil. And so we have to understand that, okay? And in this case, okay, to be able to, you know, to be able to receive the things they said after, you know. We had to align up ourselves with God. Okay, the chastening of the Lord, the direction of the Lord, the training of the Lord. You know, you need one thing to really be able to get things from God. Okay? He doesn't need sacrifice. He needs obedience. This is said in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. There is no difference whatsoever. God does not change. The whole Bible says the same thing. It's the way we can deal with him is slightly changed because we have some information that wasn't available in the Old Testament. And it's much clearer after Jesus coming and what he has done so that we can benefit from that. Okay, but we cannot, okay, say that there's something different now because God all over the place said does not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever. Are you following me? So really, you know, God knows exactly. He judges rightly, righteously judges everything. Because he knows everything, the past, the present, the future, he knows everything, and he handled that, all that together. Okay? And knows what to do. He has infinite wisdom. And because he has infinite wisdom and his attitude is the right attitude because he wants the good of everybody. That doesn't mean everybody is going to get the good. But he wants good for everybody. He is there waiting for you to line up with him so that he can bless you. Okay. So sometime, okay, he has to discipline. And that means, you know, means that chastening in that case means discipline, exercise discipline on us because we are not listening. And he has to want to make sure that we listen. Okay? So, we need not discipline if we are obedient, if we do what he tells us to do. Okay? He can be teaching us new stuff, but there is no need for discipline. Discipline is only for, like, parents. Okay, if the children are irresponsible or are bad, you need to discipline them. Because if you don't, as a parent, you are missing your job. It's our responsibility to train the child the way it should go. Okay, and if we don't do it, we are at fault and we have to give account for that. Oh, he's not much of a trouble. What? Take your responsibility. Okay? So, now, here you see, here the Bible says specifically something. Don't do something. Why? Because that's flesh. And what you're going to ripen is ripe is flesh. It's corruption. It's problems. So you have to learn. Okay, to have the right attitude when you get corrected, when you find something that, you know, God straightens you up in some area. Okay, so this is part of the understanding. So obedient children listen and follow the parents. Disobedient children, first they don't listen. You tell them, and then don't do what they do. So, you know, they both, okay, are not listening and they are really disobedient. Okay, so. And the fact is, the end of the story is always obedience or disobedience. But at the beginning is listening, or if you want your attitude that is open to listen or not. Okay, your heart has to be open to listen. Okay, that's what, you know, Jesus said, what the Messiah said, everybody did the same thing. Okay, your heart doesn't want to get closer to God. You're not going to listen. He cannot do anything with you. That's the same problem. So again, here you see the cause and an effect. The cause is listening. The cause is having a good attitude about listening and hearing. And the, you know, effect is the obedience or not obedience that is going to be determining the result you get in your life. Okay? So, without listening, there's not going to be obedience. So listening is essential. The cause is the thing you have to work on. That is the thing generally, you know, that is determining the factor of you making progress. Okay? So Jesus repeated that all the time. 7 times he said, you know, was here 2 years, led him here. You know, seven times is the perfect number. You know? And he just said it as many times as it was needed to just give you that idea. You had to learn to listen, okay? And that's the way you're going to be able to progress. Okay, Proverbs 3. We're going to take much more time than I thought here. But this is such a basic thing. If you understand the impact in the scripture of the cause and the effect, you know the way to do everything that the Bible wants you to do. It tells you, don't do that, do that. And he says, if you do that or don't do that, these are the results you get. And that actually is the law of sowing and reaping applied specifically to situation. Are you following me? And if you start reading the Bible, you know, from with those glasses, you're going to see so much stuff that you get direction in everything you need. Promise you. The Bible is going to be opening up to you in a way that you never knew before. And become simple. This is the key to open the secrets that are in the Bible that has, you know, everybody can see, but nobody can understand. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So the following verse complete that idea. So my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. Then it goes, for the Lord, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Just as the Father, the Son, in whom he delights. So you see, the attitude is here, you know, be open to, do not despise, do not be upset or detesting or hating what's going on, because the Lord, okay, loves who he corrects. Okay. God is merciful and gracious. So he's not going to be mean to you, but he's going to try to do something to get across to you. The same thing should be a parent with their child. You know, you're not going to be mean, but if you say nothing about not to cross the street, and sometimes you punish them because they go always across the street, you are an irresponsible parent. Probably you won't be a parent for very long. Are you following what I'm saying? Well, here he's saying the same thing, okay? If he's correcting, it's because he loves you. Just as a father in whom the son in whom he delights. So this is talking about correction here, which is really another part of the training that takes place. Okay? And, you know, one of the things that, for example, has an impact on that, okay, in which he listened, and we show that there is a good attitude inside us, is the fear of the Lord. See, the fear of the Lord is a basic thing for us to hear from him. Because it draws our attention to the fact that stuff that is not pleasing him. And we have to expect him not to be pleased. And we have to know that that doesn't please us, please him. Okay? So we can actually not be there wondering why things are happening in one way or another, we can be specific about the things that we had to deal with in our life. Instead of saying, what has happened to me? Well, are you listening? Are you obeying what God says? Are you doing what he directs us to do? And if you do, then, maybe he's going to bring up you this, the scripture that you had to look at and notice, because the Holy Spirit, you know, is that the job he does. He brings to you the things that he knows that we need to know. He brings us in. There are actually scripture we are going to see that actually shows exactly how that thing happened. Okay? So, the fear of the Lord, one of the things it produces is wisdom. You know, the fear of the Lord produces wisdom. And by doing that is really what that is, know what to do. be obedient to what God wants us to do, okay? So we can learn to be obedient, okay? And as a result of being obedient, something happened. People want to be blessed by God. Well, the only way to be blessed by God is by being obedient. Very simple. God cannot bless you if you are not obedient. See, cause and effect. Obedience produces God blessing. Disobedience, God training or direction or punishment, depending on where the place of the scale that you are in. How much you have been resisting him, how much you should know better, how much he expects from you, because he knows what exactly you are at, and he knows what he can expect from you, and he doesn't want you to be perfect. He wants you to be listening to what he is dealing with you right now, and that is reflected on your situation. Praise the Lord. And we have to be careful about not liking it. See, it says there, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. See, we can get really fed up with God. Lots of people are mad with God. And they think that they're going to get somewhere with that. That's really stupid. I mean, he's the boss of the bosses, and you get mad with the boss, and you get fired. You make your situation worse. This is why there is a very specific instruction here. This is Old Testament, Proverbs 3, 11, you know, and 12. You know, this is Old Testament, but it's the same for us, because I can read you, and we are going to, you know, many other scriptures on the New Testament. This is exactly the same thing he's telling us. Okay? So, you know, listening, the fear of the Lord makes you listen. You want to know, not how to not make him displeased. Okay? Then because you have the right attitude, which is the fear of the Lord, in this case, okay, God will communicate to you. You are going to be able to hear. If you have to be able to hear, you are going to be able to do. You make the choice to do what he's saying to do. You make the choice that you become obedient. Once you become obedient, guess what? You don't need to do anything else. God blesses you. He just pulls on you automatically. Don't think that you are going to get blessed because you spend time praying. God couldn't care less how much time you spend time in prayer if your attitude is wrong. Yeah, that's why, you know, the more important thing for you to do, God knows what you need before you open your mouth. That's what Jesus said. You don't need to do anything. You just need to say, Lord, show me what I have to do next. And he will show, and automatically the blessings start to come. You get them from anywhere without any effort. It's just so easy that you say, my goodness, you know, you are so good. Praise the Lord. You don't need to fight the devil. You are wasting your time. I don't care what anybody says. People who do that, they go under. Because he doesn't get tired. And you are weak. Okay, here. So, read Psalm 103, and I did it before. Talks all the time about the fear of the Lord, you know, and that doesn't mean you are afraid of him. You are afraid of missing him, because that's the only place to get blessed. See, when you have the wrong fear of the Lord, you run away when you sin. But when you have the right fear of the Lord, when you sin or you have something wrong, you run to him, because he's the only solution. There is no other solution to help you. It's not the work that you do. You are not saved by works. You're saved by faith, which is actually trusting and believing God. He's not trying to claim things. Now, let me continue here. Okay? Now, it talks about here, you know, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so many clouds of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. First things to do, the source, okay? Since we can see that in the life of many people in the Bible, you know, we have such a great, you know, surrounded by great cloud of witnesses. You lay us out the weight, okay, of the sin that so easily ensnares us. Why? Because it's the flesh taking over, okay? And let's run with endurance the race that's set before us. So here he's telling two things to do exactly, you know, that we have, why we do that? Because that is what produces obedience. That's what we are going to be able to return, you know. So let aside, you know, any to get obedience, you have to do this, okay? And you have to endure with patience. See, patience is a fruit of the Spirit, okay? And not many people like to be patient, but this is really a key to your success. If you are not patient, you cannot succeed. Because patience produces the result, make your faith active, make your faith able to overcome. Otherwise, you know, you give up. Otherwise, you get discouraged. And let me continue here, because this is said many times, okay? And let patience have his perfect will. In this is, you know, Hebrew from Hebrew 12, 11. One, I'm going to go to James 1, 4. Let the patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So you see, if you trust God, which is faith, okay, and you just give up as soon as something goes the wrong way that you don't like it, you're going to get nowhere. Because you're not going to be obedient, you're going to go your way. Instead, here he's saying, no, you just be patient, stuck with it, trust him, keep believing him, help him to do, and he will guide you, and you will be obedient in the things that he's guiding you, and you are going to be blessed. See, will be the perfect young. We will make you complete and perfect, lacking nothing. That's the way the blessings come. So we have to learn to recognize this connection, the connection between cause and effect that is reflected always in the scripture. If we learn to identify or to look that, it's not very complicated. You know, generally says, do something or don't do something. And then says, you know, when you do that, this is what's going to happen. I mean, the path is already prepared. You want something, it says do or don't, and then you get the result. Are you following what I'm saying? This is, you know, even a child can follow that. But if you start reading the Bible using those kind of glasses, you're going to find so much direction, so much information, so much understanding of what God wants from you, that you're going to have no problem growing very quickly. Because you're going to know exactly what God wants you to do instead of wondering because you don't know which part of the scripture to go and look at. And you're wasting your time going around, getting nowhere. You have to listen to what God is saying. And you do that by the right attitude. He talks to you if you have the right attitude and show you the scripture. No, many, you know, the cause and effect thing is nothing else than the law of sowing and reaping. And he's giving you, you know, a very clear direction, specific direction for the things you need to do. No, you don't need to go any place. You go, read the Bible regularly. Scripture will come up to you and say, oh, that's interesting. You know, this is what I want. And this is, you know, the problem I have now. Okay, I have to change that. That's called repentance, and I'm going to get the result. God works the same way for everything, you know, but there are so many different applications. Now, see, victory for you is God's will in any area, but you're going to get it only when you obey him, not when you do your own thing. Even when you think that that's what God wants you to do, because, you know, it doesn't go according to what we believe, it goes according to the truth. It's the truth that sets you free, not just what you believe. You can claim your things as much as you want and get nowhere. And you say, why doesn't it work? And you get mad at God. Lots of people do that. And that's a worse thing to do. Because, you know, you get disappointed. Well, you should know that you don't know everything. And if you think that you know everything, you're really fooling yourself. Okay? Nobody knows everything. Only God. Now, victory is the way. I'm going to bring another scripture. Everybody knows this scripture. The point is, do they apply them? Do they believe them? Okay. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Cause and effect. If you are a sheep, then the Lord is your shepherd. Not because, oh, I claim Lord being my shepherd. No, you are listening to him. The sheep follow the shepherd. It doesn't go by any other person. He knows exactly, he recognizes his voice. So that means, you know, what is means that the attitude is right, that he is, you know, that we are depending on him, that we are connected with him, that we are hoping for the correction or anything that comes our way, and we trust him. And the result of that, the conclusion, you shall lack nothing. I mean, by itself, that should be such a strong motivation inside us to actually connect with the Lord even better, to listen to him better. You see, all these things are connected together, but if you start seeing the way they work all the time, they're going to work on you to really make you motivated to do the right thing and not to play religion, which most of the people do, because that's what the flesh like to. See, God is not impressed by your works. God is impressed by your obedience because you listen to him. No sacrifice. Obedience. No sacrifice. No religious stuff. He wants people to worship him in spirit and in truth. Not in ceremonies. Not in show off. Now, so, if you are connected to the shepherd, he will guide you and you shall have no want. You're going to get everything you need. Continue, verse 2. He restored my soul. Okay, so that's, the soul is the part in which you make decisions. You know, you do things. So he's the one that, because you have been obeying, he's restoring, he's fixing you up, your desire, your judgment, your things. You change the way you think. You repent of the things that you don't shouldn't want. Okay? So that's what he does. And he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Oh, this is a good one. Okay? So he leads me in the path of righteousness. It's not what you think that is the thing you should do. In the path of righteousness is the path in which you are in right standing with him. And the only way to be in right standing with him is your relationship with him is the right relationship. Okay? Praise the Lord. So, and he will lead you in the path of righteousness for my name's sake. So the path of righteousness is the path of obedience. There is no other place because it's obedience, not sacrifice. So if you don't listen, you cannot be in the path of righteousness. Now, let me continue. Okay. Obey, okay. That means you must hear, okay. And that is, opens up for God to pour his grace on you, okay, which is your, not something that you can claim, but this is an undeserved, unmerited favor that is given to us because of his decision to do so. Now, praise the Lord. I mean, this is not new theory or new fangling junk. This is simply old time beliefs of what God said all the time. Okay? Now we continue here. is okay, for his name's sake. That's a good one. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Are you lined up with him? If you are not lined up with it, you cannot pray that way. If you are not obedient, you cannot pray that way. Because in the name of Jesus, the name is nothing else than these characteristics, his place, his position. That means you are declaring that you are in his position. You are aligned with him. Don't expect a policeman on the street. You are speeding. They put the end there and they make you stop. See, by the law, you come out, you got the ticket. In the name of the city, the government, whatever it is that they go operating for, they cannot do it because he wants to charge you so that you make some money. Everything that he asks you to do is because there is the law behind that is supporting him. He has to line up himself with the law. If he does something that is behind the law, he's going to go to prison. He's not going to be supported when that is found. That's the same thing. You see, we don't have authority on ourselves. No matter what anybody says, they don't know what they're talking about. All authority is delegated. The only authority is God. Even the governments get the authority from God, and they may misuse it, and there will be account they have to be given account for. Just Romans chapter 13. The idea is simple. Okay, that when we go in, by his name's sake, means really simply that we have to know, okay, where we stand ourselves, and we be in obedience. That means we are going to be connecting with his character, and what we ask and what we say is in agreement with his character. Okay, so we continue here. Let's go to Psalm 9, verse 10. It says it very clearly, clarifies us. There is no thought that we can come that has to be ours, that we add to the scripture. We have to go by the scripture and work by the scripture. Otherwise, we are cursed because we get ourselves in trouble. That's what the Bible says at the closing. People don't understand that, but I'm going to continue here. Psalm 9, verse 10 says, "And those who know your name will put their trust in you." You want to know how to have trust or to trust God? You have to know his name. You say, I don't know if I trust God, I'm afraid and everything else. Faith is trusting God, nothing else. He's not believing your stuff. Believing what you get. Not quoting the scripture and trying to get them. That junk, that is worship, witchcraft. Faith is trusting God. And we're going to see, I've been defining that for a long time. Is believing that Jesus is a rewarder of those who trust him, to seek him, because you to seek him with all your heart, and he's faithful. That's his name involves his faithfulness. He's completely faithful. He's completely powerful. He's completely knowledgeable. He's completely complete everything. Okay? And here he's saying very simply, those who know him will put their trust in him. Why? Because, Did you know what he's like? That's why I've been teaching on God for the last few while, because I realize people don't understand God and they have a funny idea that he's not what God is like. And I'm not taking any of my ideas. I just see what the scripture says that he is, and I accept it and I believe it and I start counting on it. Are you following what I'm saying? So here he's saying, those who trust in him will trust in him. You want to trust God? Start reading about what God is like in the Bible. so that you know his character, so that you know what you can expect from him, that you know what he expect from you. Okay, we continue. For the Lord, for your Lord, have not forsaken those who seek him. So he's not going to forsake you because you seek him, because you trust him, because you have faith in him. See, faith is those who, you know, believe that he is, and he's, you know, blesser or a rewarder of those who seek him. That means, you know, you go after him. You don't go after the gifts. You don't go after the show. You don't go after the noise. You don't go after the show off of whatever. You don't go after any of the things of the world. You go after him. And when you do that, he does the work, not you. The way he did with the children of Israel when they were going against the three armies, and they, you know, and they went around worshiping the Lord, and the three armies killed each other, and they had 3 days of putting up, you know, pulling up the, all the remains there from them, and they got, you know. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. So, knowing his name, the importance of knowing his name. If you want to get any place that you have to do, you know, don't go try to understand how to have faith, because you're going to be given a lot of baloney. Go after understanding the way God is. You're going to be able to have results without any effort, without any work, without any struggle. Because you're not going to fight losing battle. You're only going to fight winning battle. Because he wins. He is victorious. He made a show of the principalities and power. They are defeated, and they only can do what he let them do. Praise the Lord. It was the same in the Old Testament. It's nothing new. But now we should know better. Okay? So, let me continue, yeah. Okay, so here it is very clear, okay. When he led us in this path of righteousness, obedience, that's the way you only get righteous. You know, okay, well, you know, you go by faith. Yeah, you by faith, you obey, because otherwise you're not going to obey, you're going to do your own thing. See, the evidence of your faith is what you do, you know. There is no faith without works. But they are not the works to get the faith, are works because you are connecting with God. And he's working through you, okay? So, praise the Lord. Do you trust the Lord? I read again, Psalm 9, verse 10, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. So, are you afraid that it's not going to come true if you're seeking God with all your heart? That part has to be there. Because if you're seeking God as an alternative, as an option, instead of seeking God by because you're trying to get some result, then what you're worshiping as are the result, not worshiping God. God has a completely different perspective about what you need. He knows everything that you need. Praise the Lord. And he's going to be able to provide much more than what you expect. So, okay. Knowing the name of the Lord, okay, enable you to connect with him and to become obedient to him. Okay. What God will do to those who know his name. Psalm 32, verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I mean, he's faithful. You got up to here with me. Now, this is the next step. You know, you are seeking him, you are connecting with him, and you know his name. Well, he said, yeah, I will instruct you and teach you as the way you should go. I will guide you with my eyes. He doesn't guide you by your doctrine. He doesn't guide you by your beliefs. Doesn't guide you by your want. He guides you by his side. That means, you know, his understanding, not your understanding. You don't lean in your own understanding. You lean in his understanding, and he knows everything, and he's going to direct you the right way. So, again, okay, you want to not be deceived in the direction that you have, in the guidance that you have. He will instruct you, okay? And he will guide you with his eyes, not your thinking, not your things, if you, okay, know his name. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let me add one other scripture that can understand. You know, you cannot take a scripture by itself. You have to take always the description connecting with one another. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 12 says, so the Lord alone led me. The Lord alone led me. Okay. And there was no foreign God with him. See, that's the thing. If we have idols in our heart and we seek the Lord at the same time, we get nowhere and we get other information that is going to deceive us. We had to be exclusive. Not inclusive, the way the world is today. Okay? So, idolatry is something that we have to flee if we, you know, value or love God. Because that's the only way that we are going to get anywhere. Okay? And there's more. See, he's explaining to us the way he guides us and the way he helps us. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 16. Says there, I will bring the blind by a way that they do not know. So you see, the way the Lord deals doesn't deal with the things that we know. He deals with the things that we don't know. That's the problem all the time. Because we are too ignorant, not able to know the truth. And so we are guided in the wrong direction. Here he's actually saying instead, you know, I will give you the things that you don't know. That's exactly what you want. Okay, I will lead them in the path that they have not known. Praise the Lord. I mean, this is pretty clear promise, you know, and it's something that depends on the fact of, are you listening? And if you trust him, you are going to be listening. And if you are listening, you are going to be knowing the way that you don't know. And so you are going to know something that is going to change everything. I will make darkness light before him. Hallelujah. I mean, here is a place to get a glory fit. Are you following what I'm saying? And crooked place straight. This is, you know, I don't know. I mean, I get excited. When I saw these scriptures, you know, I was preparing yesterday. I know because I've been, but this is, I'm trying to put them together so that, you know, you can see the whole picture of God, the way he functions in this training that he's planning for you, okay? That he's designed for you, is the best planning, is the best, you know, you can, you know, it's actually, it's personally applied, you know, it's not for just the same for everybody. Each person is different, a different place, different problems. And he deals with exactly what you need to know. The darkness into light, and crooked place straight. Okay, that is his place, you know. The things I will do, these things I will do for them, not forsake them. And just based on the simple fact that we are listening, that our attitude is right, that we are not, you know, upset because we are corrected, and we are not listening, that we are not getting anywhere, because we are trusting him, that he's guiding us, and he's bringing light to the darkness, and if we don't get the light, that means, you know, we had something to change, and he's ready to do it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. No, you see this, you know, he guides us from darkness to light. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't forsake us. Just a moment, let's clarify this. He doesn't forsake us if we don't forsake him. because if we forsake him and we go our way, he cannot come after us. And he is going to bring us to the same place. Okay. Here. Okay. This scripture shows, okay, the way God ministered to us and shows his goodness toward us and the way he's going to make changes in us gradually, okay? I think we should pray about that in a moment. Oh, my time already. Praise the Lord. I could keep for another 2 hours. I'm just warming up. Honestly, you know, if you are grasping some of the things that they say, you know, there is goodness. That is not just a mushy goodness. This is, you know, a goodness that is solid and powerful and makes an impact and a transformation and empowering within us. But unless we understand the way he works, we are not going to cooperate with him. People want to have a big party and they think that that way is going to convince God of anything. That's not the way you convince God. Convincing God, you know, touching God, getting God to respond to you is to obey him. Learn to obey from where you are to where you want to go because and trust the end to him because he knows better than you do. And he knows the path better than you do. And his path is straight. Praise the Lord. All right, we should pray. I put myself there. I should pray for that, but let's praise. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for your word that shows us the way. That shows us the way you are. The way you love us, the way you change us, the way you give us victory, the way, Lord, you guide us step by step into your light. No man's ideas, no man's doctrines, is the truth that set us free. And we open ourselves up to you, Lord, today. To be changed, to be empowered, to be enabled, to know the truth that set us free. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you in Jesus' name, who died for us, that we may be free. Amen. In amen. Glory to God.